in the Warren County Radio Bible School. Today, we're going to be looking at that account that Luke gave us in the book of Acts when Paul appeared before King Agrippa. Now, we're looking at some introductory material, and we were doing that, some of the things that led up to this, and we'll begin with that again in just a few moments. First, you'll want to look in your Bible. Turn to Acts chapter 26, if you want to follow along. We're going to be looking in detail at verses 19 through 32. Acts 26, 19 through 32. But we're not quite ready to do that. We have a little more introductory material, and then we will get into the explanatory notes of that text. While you're doing that and getting your Bible, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at Elam's notes. These are the notes he made concerning this passage for the Sunday schools of November 29th, 1925. Paul was to come before Agrippa. You see, Festus had asked Agrippa to come in and help him. He's fixing to send Paul to Rome because Paul had made an appeal to Caesar, and Festus didn't know what to write down as the charges against Paul. And so he asked Agrippa to come and help him think this through. Agrippa had no jurisdiction over Paul, but he expressed a desire to hear him. So on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, with the chief captains and the principal men of the city, at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in, that is, into the place of the hearing. Taking a glance at Paul's audience as it said about him, in great pomp and worldly splendor, the king and Bernice in royal apparel, the Roman governor, the Chiliarchs, and the principal men of Caesarea, Paul doubtless had never stood before such a worldly great audience. Paul was a prisoner before them, in chains, literally in chains, as he appeared before that audience to make that speech. Festus addressed the audience first and stated his own difficulty and why they had been called together. Agrippa then assumed control of the meeting and announced to Paul that he was permitted to speak for himself. God had said that Paul was a chosen vessel unto him to bear his name before kings, and this is one of those times when it was done. Then Paul stretched forth his hand, that'd be the hand with a chain hanging from his arm, and he made his defense. Paul expressed himself first as happy because he had this opportunity of making his defense before Agrippa, for the stated reason that Agrippa should know what's going on among the Jews. He then states that the Jews were acquainted with his manner of life from his youth, where he had lived a Pharisee, and that even then, concerning the hope of the resurrection, he was accused of the Jews. Next, he states that once he thought, like the Jews, that he ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and did so, both in Jerusalem and in foreign cities. And he then gives an account of his conversion, or why he ceased to persecute Jesus and accept him as the Christ. In all of this, Paul not only gave his reasons for becoming a Christian, but he preached the gospel to his audience and showed why they also should become Christians. He also gives here his commission from Jesus to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, we're going to look at the text in detail. I want to read to you first Acts chapter 26, verses 19 through 26. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared both to them of Damascus first and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the country of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, doing works worthy of repentance. For this cause the Jews seized me in the temple and essayed to kill me. Having therefore obtained help that is from God, I stand unto this day testifying both the small and great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses did say should come, how that Christ must suffer, and how he first, by the resurrection of the dead, should proclaim light both to the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad. Thy much learning is turning thee mad. Let's look at this from 19 through 23, just before Festus had to speak. This lesson again cuts into one of Paul's addresses. We have then another reason for having our Bible in the class with us. This vision was from heaven. Paul saw Jesus in that light which smote him with blindness. To this commission, he was not disobedient. Paul does not relate here, as are related in former accounts of his conversion, his blindness, his fast, his prayer for 3 days, Ananias' visit, and his baptism. He states that he at once began to preach in the places mentioned, both the Jews and Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, doing works worthy of repentance. Godly sorrow is not repentance, but it works repentance, 2 Corinthians 7:10. Repentance is a change of purpose and a determination to lead a different life. Then when one repents, one in godly sorrow for all sins, turns from those sins and proposes by the help of God to lead a different life, to turn to God after one believes in Christ and repents, is to submit to God in baptism and to do works worthy of repentance, which is to show by a life of godliness and true holiness that one has repented. For this cause, carrying out the commission Christ had given him, preaching through Christ the hope of the resurrection, that all should live true and holy life, the Jews had seized Paul in the temple and tried to kill him. He had now been a prisoner for 2 years, with no evil thing having been proved against them. Through all these trials and imprisonment, God had been with him and sustained him and had overruled all things for the furtherance of the gospel and his protection. By this help he stood before them on that day. In all his preaching, he had said nothing but what the prophets and Moses said should come to pass. His course was to show by the law and the prophets first that he was looking for the Messiah, that the Messiah should suffer, shed his blood, and arise from the dead, and that Jesus of Nazareth had done this, and hence was the Messiah or Christ, and therefore the Son of God. Moses and the prophets foretold these things, and belief in Moses and the prophets compelled faith in Jesus. Jesus said, if the Jews believed Moses, they must believe him. John 5:46-47. This was the point Paul pressed. Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10, and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Paul so says here that he first by the resurrection of the dead, should proclaim light both to the people and to the Gentiles. Jesus demonstrated the resurrection as a fact. Now here, Festus interrupted Paul. We read in Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 26. And as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art mad. Thy much learning is turning thee mad." Now, by mad here, he's saying crazy. He's not talking about mad in anger, but he thinks Paul is mad because he has gone crazy. Paul said, "I am not mad," or "I'm not crazy, most excellent Festus, but speak forth words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, and to whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things is hidden from him, for this hath not been done in a corner." Worldly, ambitious, knowing nothing of Christianity, and placing it on a level with the demon worship and superstition of the Romans, and recognizing Paul's learning and splendid ability, he could not reconcile Paul's course of life and magnanimous spirit with his own darkened conceptions of life and duty. Hence, he thought Paul must be frenzied to saying, "Thy much learning is turning thee mad." This was truly his estimate of Paul. How darkened the mind that could regard this in the light of life which had been the admiration of enlightened men, both of believers and unbelievers in every subsequent age. Paul recognized the sincerity of Festus in making this charge and replied most respectfully, "I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but speak forth words of truth and soberness." Paul's very manner, calmness, respect for Festus, and courteous reply disproved the charge of madness. All he preached was only what God had said should come to pass. Replying further to Festus, Paul tells him that the king knoweth all these things, that they were not hidden from him, for they were not done in a corner. This is a reflection, too, on Festus's profound ignorance of these things, because the king was familiar with them and claimed to believe the prophets. Paul spoke to him freely. It seems that Paul recognized the fact that Festus was beyond the reach of the gospel at this time. Now we read verses 27 through 29, Acts 26. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said unto Paul, But with little persuasion thou wouldest vain make me a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that whether with little or with much, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day might become such as I am, except these bonds. You see, Paul had chains on him. Physically, materially, in a worldly sense, Paul was bound while those listening to him were free. But Paul knew that spiritually, he was the one that was free. And those who had gathered to hear him that day were those that were still bound in sin. Paul makes a direct appeal to the king. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And before Agrippa could answer, seeing the conviction in his face, Paul said, I know that thou believest. Unlike Festus, Agrippa had clear insight to these things and had been carried along in sympathy with Paul from the beginning of his speech to its climax. Paul saw this and made the declaration, I know that thou believest. And that being true, Agrippa, like Paul, must accept Jesus as the Christ, that is, become a Christian. Agrippa realized all this. He felt his mighty conclusion and said, But with little persuasion, thou would make me a Christian.